Hello and welcome to a One Year Review. My name is Cynthia Ng. Today, we will be shining a spotlight on Lean In Malaysia, which is part of a global movement dedicated to empowering and advancing women in the workplace. And we have an incredible duo with us today in the studio. First up, we have Melistan Itzam. She's the Board of Advisor at Lean In Malaysia, and she's also the founder of Bobble, which is a company focusing on menstrual health and sustainable period care products. And joining her as well is Azilia Ann, the driving force, if I may put it, behind Lean In Malaysia Women Entrepreneurs Bootcamp, and she's also the lead for Lean In Masterclass. I'm really excited to hear the initiatives undertaken by Lean In Malaysia to empower women. How about we start with Melis just to give us an overview of Lean In Malaysia and your role with the organization?
Well, I started with Lean In back in our early days. This is back in 2014, part of the original founding committee. My role back then was the head of partnerships, where I focused a lot on the strategic partnerships we had with corporates in Malaysia and also fundraising for the work that we were doing. And really a lot of the work that we were doing is how we can enable, empower and educate women and corporates to try to close that gender gap that a lot of women in the workforce were facing in Malaysia. So I had that role for a few years, and then I retired from that role a few years later. Now I currently sit on the board of advisors for Lean In, where I'm supporting the current working committee where they need our support.
And you're an entrepreneur, so?
Yeah, so that's pretty much a lot of my full-time job right now. I started my startup 3 years ago at sort of the beginning of the pandemic. That was not planned. And really going into the space of menstrual health and well-being and safe and sustainable period care is a big passion of mine. I'm very much passionate about women's health, and I felt that this was a space that there's still a lot of stigma, there's still a lot of taboo, and I felt that it's time to disrupt the space and really about how we can change the menstrual health and well-being landscape, especially here in Southeast Asia.
All right, wonderful. We'll get to that a bit more later on in the show. How about you, Azilia? Talk to us about your involvement with Lean In Malaysia. I will just put it out there that both of them have day jobs and Lean In is on top of what they're doing, so they're juggling quite a bit, but very focused and committed to building the network. Talk to us about your role there.
Okay, so as you all know from what Melis mentioned, Lean In Malaysia is a not-for-profit organization that enables, educates, and empowers women. So there are four pillars to Lean In Malaysia, which is Lean In Masterclass, Lean In Career Program, Lean In Youth, and Lean In Summit. So I'm one of the leads for one of these pillars, which is Lean In Masterclass. And a little bit of background for Lean In, it's part of a global network under the main organization, Lean In organization, that's headquartered in San Francisco, founded by Sheryl Sandberg herself. So my involvement in this is a lot more masterclasses previously. We run a lot of Lean In masterclasses, the one that I lead. But this year is the first year that we are collaborating with Lean In Career Program to run our programs under a bigger theme of Lean In community engagement.
Okay, well, I do want to talk a bit about the challenges of facing women in the workplace and also as entrepreneur. Perhaps I can hone in on entrepreneurship because that's what Azilia is also focusing on. It's really hard for anyone to be an entrepreneur, you know, this talking about, you know, starting and then scaling. And I mean, 90% failure rate in this game. And what more for, you know, when it comes to women, you're kind of swimming against the tide in a male-dominated arena, largely globally. You know, that's the figure that's showing us. So let's chat about that. Let's talk about, you know, the particular challenges that women face in their entrepreneurial journey. Melis, maybe you can walk us through that.
Yeah, I mean, I have that experience firsthand over the last many years. I mean, first, perhaps I could probably generally say that women are generally more risk averse in nature. So when it comes to stepping out of a day job in a corporate and running a business, that's a big decision and one that we don't take lightly, and we have to calculate and consider the impact it may have on ourselves or our family if we have one. And there's a lot of opportunity cost as a female entrepreneur, because we play so many multiple roles at home and and at work, and what are we sacrificing? And so as women journey through different phases in their life, singlehood to when they get married, pregnant with their first child, having their third child, it adds to the complexity of being a female entrepreneur and playing the roles both at work but also at home. Which leads to my second point, where time is such a finite resource for everyone. Everyone's given the same amount of time. However, for a female entrepreneur, we're just generally a lot more stretched. You know, at home, you are home minister, you have multiple hats, you are a driver, cook, caretaker. But then at work, you know, even though you're a CEO, right, founder of a business, really I call that chief everything officer, because especially in the early days, you have to do every little thing. And so splitting your time, there's always an opportunity cost, whether you're able to spend enough time at home or spend enough time on your business, and it's just a constant juggling act. Whereas generally for men, perhaps the decisions and the opportunity costs are a little bit different, where men do have the accepted luxury where it's okay to spend 24/7 hustling and working long hours or after hours, working weekends to try to grow and scale the business, to aggressively fundraise. But with women, at the back of our minds, we're always thinking, how do we get back home and feed the kids and bathe the kids, right? So there's a constant battle with how we manage and what we have access in terms of time and where we can spend that. And I would say another challenge is just generally the ecosystem here in Malaysia, be it accelerator programs, mentors, funding, access to investors. It's still a very male-centric landscape in Malaysia, as you pointed out. And perhaps there lacks a lens of empathy or understanding when it comes to a female entrepreneur and the very unique challenges that a female entrepreneur faces and will continue to face, especially as she plays a much larger role at home, just because there's still a big pervasive gender stereotype still in our society today here, where naturally women are the ones that take on more responsibilities at home.
All right. Well, I really appreciate you sharing your story and your personal experiences. Now, going back to what you mentioned about pervasive gender stereotypes, and how do they directly impact women's ambition or women's success with things like mentorship or even funding, you've mentioned it. I mean, just looking at the global figures, when it comes to venture capital, the fact is that female founders just drew about 2-3% of our venture capital dollars. So perhaps, you know, from your perspective, what are some of the stereotypes do you think needs to be dismantled to help improve women's access to the support that they need?
Yeah, absolutely. First, maybe if I can paint a bit of a picture. Not everyone, especially in the Malaysian context, will have luxury of access or can afford additional help and resources to build an ecosystem around them to enable the right support system for them to go down this entrepreneurial journey. I mean, I'm talking specifically here having access or can afford, say, domestic helpers or drivers or having access to parents that are available to help with kids at home. And so naturally, because of the gender stereotypes and the expectations in society that we have, those roles naturally fall back on the women. I'm not saying with all households, but a lot of the time this is the case. And because we don't have this ecosystem built around us to help support us, there's just limitations that we face in terms of time or funding options for us to be able to invest in our business. We need to spend more time on sales. We need to spend more time on trying to fundraise. But we can't be out there at 7, 8 p.m., you know, having wining and dining and trying to close investment rounds or doing that over weekends. Whereas with men, it's a much more acceptable role for them to spend their time on and doing that to scale their own businesses. And because we have this limitation, we aren't able to aggressively spend time on fundraising, that already kind of can kill the business from the early onset as well. And as you mentioned, right, there are a lot of findings as well in terms of how women are being assessed when they're trying to pitch for capital, where a lot of the questions that are asked women perhaps are a little bit more negative and preventive oriented, and a lot of the questions are asked based on challenges or potential risks and losses that the business may face. Compared to with men, they're being asked more promotion oriented questions, which are talking more about achievements and gains that the business could have. So it's already putting women on sort of a lower pedestal to begin with. And just because there is a lot of unconscious biases that goes on in an investor's mind, and I'm not just saying male investors, even female investors out there, right? Whether you're an angel investor or an institutional investor, it's a similar challenge that women face, that there's just psychological bias in this lens that's already in the minds of investors when women are trying to fundraise and the limited time that they have to spend on fundraising as it is in the beginning. So that's where women are dropping off in that funnel, and we're seeing that just not enough women-led or founded startups are being invested in.
I think that's happening in the workplace, I mean, the corporate workplace, women dropping out of the funnel. I'd like to bring in Azalea to maybe share your experience. Currently, you're in a corporate job, you have a corporate job, and you're also working with a lot of women entrepreneurs, a startup ecosystem via LinkedIn Malaysia. Mm-hmm. Can you share insights on the common challenges that women face in these two areas, and are there lessons that can be learned from one sector to benefit the other?
My biggest struggle is seeing my family, my friends, and my colleagues who often have to make this difficult decision of mm-hmm. having to balance personal and work life. Although the awareness is more prevalent now, you can see as the company that I work for now was one of the first to pioneer a 6 months maternity leave policy for firstborns. And I was quite happy about that. So, and also flexible work arrangements is still being practiced now. So, I mean, I'm happy to see that this is very prevalent in the corporate space. But even then, I still day-to-day struggle with my job, and like, even though I'm fortunate I don't have a family yet, I don't know how you do it, Melise, but I still do struggle with wanting a social support system to kind of be a sounding board for my day-to-day. So I am not an entrepreneur myself, but I do resonate with the entrepreneurs that we have come across in this in this space, and I understand, like, they're looking for the exact same things that I was looking for: mentorship, guidance, advisory, and also just an emotional support mm-hmm. system to get them through their day-to-day. So, I mean, it's important for us to then provide the space to give them access to this network of peers who may or may not be in the same situation mm-hmm. as them, right? So, and also provide them a safe space for them to be themselves and to help them in their entrepreneurial journey.
Can you then walk us through some of the initiatives or programs under LinkedIn Malaysia that do exactly what you have just said, just help women have access to network, mentorship and support?
So we also have circle dialogues where women who join us and participate in our programs then get to create circles where they can then share that network with people in their community, women out there who are not part of LinkedIn yet. So when they create the circle dialogues, they address issues and challenges that women face in the community. And we have already, I think, incubated LinkedIn circles in some companies here in Klang Valley and also in KL, and also nationwide. We have one in Johor, Perak, Sabah and Sarawak that we've already established.
Mm-hmm. What about the Entrepreneurs Bootcamp that you run? What is the initiative? Can you walk us through the initiative and what's the objective of that program?
Sure. So we have a great lineup of mentors and trainees for this bootcamp, and we're happy that they were very keen to come on board as well to help us out voluntarily on this. So we've got mentors and trainees from F&B, fintech, fashion, and some are even life coaches. And we're especially glad that we also have male allies who were jumping for joy and jumping into this mm-hmm. this space and saying, like, I want to help out the women, and it's great to see them being so keen and so looking forward to this. So we have that, and we have a bunch of workshops in line to coming up in the next few weeks of this. So we've got workshops to teach entrepreneurs on how to build a business, how to pitch their business. And then we've got a consultation workshop on one-on-one consultation with industry mm-hmm. experts. And then we also have a full workshop for VCs to come and educate our women to teach them about where options for funding for their businesses. So yeah, we're really looking forward to that. And after that, it's going to come full circle on November 18th, where they get to graduate, and then we get to see their career and progress in this whole entire program and touch back on, the promises that they've made post-program to see how they're doing, their progress. And this is especially important because we really, really care about their success.
Right, of course. Yeah. And just being there from the beginning, and then I guess Melise is also a very great example, having been in that community and also benefited as an entrepreneur. Maybe you can share with us some of your personal experience with LinkedIn Malaysia as an entrepreneur. And how has it helped you personally, being part of that network for women?
You know, we always hear the saying that entrepreneurship can be a lonely journey, yeah. and that's irrespective of your agenda. Certainly that was the case for myself. And one of the things that Lean In as a community, through my Lean In team that I used to work with more actively, but also just through the women that I've met through a lot of the events that we've run, it definitely has given access to connect and meet with the right kind of like-minded women that can empathize, are willing to give their time and support or advice. And I've been very thankful for the community that I've had access to, because I think to try to find these individuals on your own can be a little bit challenging. And certainly when I was starting Bobble and it was COVID and you can't really meet people, right? So very privileged to be able to have access to this community already. And through that, it's enabled me to connect with, I now have a few select mentors that I've now onboarded as advisory board members for my startup, and at the same time meet other mom entrepreneurs as well. So we're going through a similar journey and the challenges. So I learned from them, they've been there, done that, or we're going through the challenges together. So we're able to be sounding boards for each other. So the power of community and support is just so important. And I think having women who are going through or have gone through that, it's a really important part to have in your ecosystem as a female entrepreneur. Again, right, it's just to learn from each other and to support each other, because it's already a challenging as it is. Yeah.
What stage are you with your startup? I mean, it's been a couple of years now, and what's next for Bobble?
So we're still a small homegrown business, although we do have footprint in Singapore and in Brunei. We're certainly looking to expand in the region, and we always talked about periods don't stop for pandemics. So we actually grew a lot during COVID, which was amazing. Predominantly Bobble has been bootstrapped by myself and my husband, so it has been challenging navigating through that financial balancing act of business, investing in the business, and also taking care of the home front. I mean, I have three kids, so we have a big investment there at home. And given that I'm a product-based business, but we're also very driven by e-commerce and subscription, it's always a balance of a chicken and egg, where we have more demand than we have supply. So even for myself as a business, we're going through our own fundraising experience now. Yes, facing challenges that a female entrepreneur faces, especially given this kind of space, which is still seen as very traditional and perhaps doesn't require disruption. Mm-hmm. So I do get sort of biased questions when I am trying to fundraise. But yes, for us, we have a lot of growth potential, and really, how can we change menstrual health and well-being in this landscape, not just from a product perspective, but also the education in this mm-hmm. space, right? How can we change how we're educating about periods in schools or at home, or even supporting this in the workplace? And we want to scale this in schools, in corporates, working with the right partners in our government as well, to impact those communities who can't even have access to basic necessities mm-hmm. such as a feminine hygiene product, mm-hmm. and of course scale this beyond just Malaysia and into our neighboring countries in Southeast Asia.
Now, if I may just hone in on that bias that you mentioned in your space, because you know, when we talk about investor preferences, there's a tendency among investors to favor, you know, high-tech startups mm-hmm. that are involved in AI, fintech, e-commerce. In your opinion, how do you think investors can be encouraged to diversify their portfolios and consider startups like Bobble, who's addressing very essential but often overlooked needs in the society?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I would encourage investors to not just look at profits, but also looking into investing in businesses that look at purpose as well. Mm-hmm. So really have the goals of both balancing purpose and profits, which is a lot of what Bobble is about. Given that we are a very product-centric business, and typically I would say generally a lot of female entrepreneurs, they may come out and start a product or service-based business. And a lot of the times with this bias that comes from investors is that they need to see a certain amount of traction before they will invest in you. But that's kind of the chicken and egg, mm-hmm. right? We're asking for funding so we can scale and grow. And we don't have the financial means in the early days to be able to do that. Whereas with a tech business who maybe hasn't seen an ounce of revenue come in, yet they're projecting certain financials and valuation, they're getting fundraising of $500,000, $1 million ringgit or $1 million, right? So, you know, there's that sort of imbalance there. But at the same time, I think investors are hopefully starting to shift from looking just at unicorns. You know, I see unicorns as a mythical creature. They don't quite exist, albeit if you hit the jackpot and you invested in a unicorn that's successful, of course, you make money there. But I believe in zebras. Right, businesses that are zebras. And zebras, they're a real animal, they symbolize longevity and really businesses that have a long-term impact. So businesses like Bobble, where we're very much aligned with any one of the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, really about impact and purpose, I truly believe that if investors start diversifying their portfolio, also investing in impact-driven businesses, businesses that have purpose, but they have longevity in the work that they're trying to do, they will also start to see that the conversion rate of what they've invested in will probably be a lot healthier in the long run, right, than trying to make big investments in high-tech startups that potentially could fail a lot faster and a lot deeper into the pockets.
Just one more question to you before I jump into Azalea and the work at LinkedIn. Did you look up to a particular founder or a woman, you know, throughout your entrepreneurship journey? Is there someone out there that gives you assurance that if she can do it, I can do it too?
There are a few, just really in my small community here in Malaysia. I do have a small group of mum entrepreneurs as well, who are either running the business with their husband or solo with other co-founders. And if I were to name drop, I think a few businesses in sort of my small circle, you know, Penny, who's behind Bloom This,
yes,
right? And, yeah. You know, they have a child as well. And then Jasmine, who's the mastermind also behind Recommend as well. And she's been doing this for 8 years and also going through all the fundraising rounds. This is very challenging and navigating. And they started in the early days where it was very, very few female founders at that mm-hmm. time, but navigating through the biases and the challenges when it comes to trying to fundraise and also trying to manage a family. I mean, they both have kids, so they're women that I connect with and talk to often, and I just feel that we understand each other. We don't come from a very wealthy background or anything like that. We really started from ground up, and I, you know, truly respect and learn a lot from these women as well.
Mm. Now, if I can bring Azalea in to talk a bit more about, you know, having a story of success like that, that you just mentioned, all these incredible women, and also that mentorship and also access to support of people having similar stories, similar experiences. Could you share with us, you know, some of the work that LinkedIn Malaysia has done? Maybe some of the wonderful, successful stories that you have come across during your work with LinkedIn?
Sure. So before the pandemic, LinkedIn was basically, a lot of our programs were held physically, right? So it was very challenging for us to shift from that into doing everything virtually. But during the pandemic, we did keep the engine going. So we had a lot of master classes online, which I held, covering various topics that was very much relatable to all women, which is women in healthcare, the importance of mental health, and I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, making the mind shift where we invited CEO girl dads who came on board. I mean, to name a few, it was Gokhan Ogut from formerly Maxis and Jalil Rashid formerly Bajaya. So these lads have girls, right? And they shared with us how they served as role models for other men. So that was one under LinkedIn Masterclass. Aside from that, LinkedIn Career Program, which was led by my co-lead now, Alia Ainuddin, she had run a LinkedIn Career Comeback Program, which was very successful, in fact. She did everything virtually online, and the success rate was at 85% to encourage women to come back to the workforce. So it was quite amazing, the success story of that, to hear that. And like, that's why our check-ins are really important, because we want to know how they're doing after the programs are done. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really appreciate both of you for sharing that story. I think this is what, I mean, we've had a lengthy chat earlier, you know, before the show and what we're going to talk about. I think the idea here for me personally is just to talk more about the work that you're doing at LinkedIn Malaysia and how other women can, you know, reach out to you if they need the same kind of support and access that LinkedIn provides. So in the final couple of minutes that we have, perhaps I will leave it to you both to know maybe a call to action, you know, to women out there, if you have a message for them, and how can they take part or be part of LinkedIn Malaysia. Perhaps I'll start with Melise.
Yeah, I guess first thing is start thinking about how to build that ecosystem around you to support you in what you want to achieve in your entrepreneurship journey. I mean, for me personally, I have the privilege where I'll be honest, I do have a helper at home. She helps with the day-to-day, with my kids and the cooking and whatnot. I have my parents as well at this juncture in their life where they're able to help with school pickups when I have a meeting. And I also have a few mentors and advisors that I have access to as well that I can lean on or ask for coffee if I need to speak with them. So it's building that right ecosystem that I needed to ensure that I have the support and the time it's required that I need to invest to try and grow Bubble and grow further beyond where we are today. The second thing is don't be afraid to ask. I think sometimes it's hard to reach out and ask for help, and I think it's okay to be vulnerable, and I'm here today and I'm very an open book to share my vulnerabilities. So I'm always about how we can help support each other, whether female to female or even other male allies in this space, right? How we can support women-led startups. And so, you know, feel free to reach out to me. You can slide into my DMs and I'm happy to chat and support and sort of pay it forward to other women who are trying to figure things out for themselves. And honestly, I wish I had access to a very specific women's accelerator program, like the one that we're about to launch, or we're running now at Lean In, where it's very specific to supporting women. And I encourage that because there are these opportunities and facilities available now, do reach out. You know, look for accelerators that are supporting women. Look for investors being male or female, or funds that are specifically targeted towards funding female-founded or female-led startups.
All right. Yeah. Azalea, over to you.
Malise has said whatever that's on my mind. Thank you so much, Malise. And I completely agree. Definitely don't be afraid to be vulnerable, because you'll never know, like, if the other person is also going through the same things as you, like, don't bottle it up. And always, always try to find your girl gang, you know, it's your clan for you to have your emotional support system as a sounding board from when you want to, you know, from when you're facing challenges in your day-to-day. It could be as small as, you know, accidentally not hearing your alarm and getting late into work, or something bigger than that. So, yeah, you can definitely reach out to us on LinkedIn, or you can search Lean In Malaysia there, or find us on our socials at Lean In Malaysia on Instagram. And of course, slide us a DM as well if you want to be a part of our community, because we want to try to share this space with a lot of other women out there. And I think I'm lucky enough to find this when I was at that stage in my life where I needed more support, you know. So I was really happy to meet Malise and all the other Lean In women, and yeah, they've been my support system since.
And it's a pleasure meeting you both, and thank you so much for sharing your story, Malise and Azalea.
Thank you.
Of luck with the work that you're doing
with
Lean In or in your personal journey. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.